All right, Shabbos, say good evening. Good evening. Let us begin. So we are starting in Meretz Hashem. Today's daf, today's Amud, is Hey Amud Beis 5b. And we are picking up Baruch Hashem on Hey Amud Aleph 5a. We have a lot to do tonight, actually. We left off Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi. So it is 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12. Bless you. 14 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi, so remember again, we're dealing with the theologically complex, 14 lines up from the bottom, 5a. So we're dealing with the theologically complex concept, ultimately again, of suffering and the nature of suffering. So the Gemara says as follows, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Idi v'Rabbi Acha Bar Chanino, Chad Amar Elohein Yisurin Shel Ava. So remember again, yesterday we were introduced to the concept of Yisurin Shel Ava, which is suffering as a manifestation of love. Again, it sounds almost like theologically contradictory that somehow suffering would be a manifestation of divine love. But we saw, nevertheless, the concept exists. So we'll say the Shaila is, how do you know? On one hand, we have the Gemara telling us that when you encounter suffering, it's important to introspect, which seems to indicate that suffering maybe is linked to something I did, maybe it's not linked to something I did, but either way, it's supposed to be a springboard of introspection and self-evaluation. And then we have the Gemara telling us that there's a concept that sometimes suffering has nothing to do with anything you did. And in fact, again, what's the suffering? It's an expression of divine love. So that's another thing. The Gemara says, how do you know which is Yisurin Shel Ava? Suffering is an expression of divine love. So he says, very simple, Chad Omar, Elin Yisurin Shel Ava, Koshei Mem Bittel Torah. If your suffering doesn't cause you to negate the study of Torah, then that's suffering of love. The other opinion said, suffering that doesn't cause you to lose out on davening, ultimately, again, so that is called suffering that is a result of love. Shneamar, Baruch Elokim Asher Lo Hisir Tfilasi V'Chasto Me'iti. Shneamar will say, so this is actually a very beautiful idea. So the Gemara explains over here, the Gemara essentially explaining the concept that if your suffering doesn't cause you to lose out on your spirituality, then that type of suffering could be a display of love. But a suffering that causes me to lose out on spirituality, that may not be an expression of divine love. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, "Am Rabbi Yochanan, Elo ve'Elo Yisurin Shel Ava." Both of these are considered to be Yisurin Shel Ava. Says the Gemara, Shneamar, Ki es asher yahav Hashem yochiach, Ela ma tamulomar, Umisarascha tlamdenu. Al tikri tilamdenu, ela tilamdenu. Don't, rather, the Torah teaches us the following concept. What does the Torah teach us? Dover zeh misarascha tilamdenu, kavachomer mishen v'ayin. We can make a kavachomer from shen arbos. And remember, what's the halach of shen and ayin? Shen and ayin is, if you have an eved, if you have a slave, a servant, and you knock out, this is talking about a non-Jewish servant, an eved kenani, and you knock out his eye, or you knock out his tooth, what's the halach? The halach is, he goes free. So we'll say if the loss of one part of the body causes an eved to go free, so yisurin shemirakin kol gufo shal adam alachas kama v'kama, then suffering, which afflicts the entire body in its entirety, then all the more so how much it causes a person, so to speak, to go free. You know, an interesting concept, right? That if the loss of a limb could cause a person to go free, then ultimately suffering, full body suffering, causes a person to, so to speak, be freed from their personal liability or culpability.
What does that mean? If you suffer enough, you don't have to pray anymore?
No, it means if you suffer enough, you're absolved from sin. You're released from your iniquity. Right? You still have to daven. Everyone has to daven and learn. That's an obligation. But the idea is just like Shein V'ayin releases you from a certain state, so too, again, suffering could release you from the state of being releases you from the state of being a sinner. Say it like that.
Which
suffering? All types of suffering. This could apply to all types of suffering.
I'm saying like a tooth is a very specific thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so it could, again, remember, we'll say, Hamad Yomi, 23 minutes, right? So remember, theologically complex Gemara. Again, this is why you have Friday, Shabbos, Sunday. All good questions. What kind of suffering? How much suffering? Where suffering? Again, all great. Remember, we're also dealing, all kidding aside, this is probably, this Gemara we're doing now, is probably the most theologically complex sugya in all of Shas. The notion of suffering in general is one of the most complex. The Gemara is just trying to create a framework. And in the framework, ultimately, again, what we see is that halacha lemaisa, at the end of the day, suffering could sometimes be a wake-up call to introspect. Suffering, ultimately, again, could be a wake-up call to go ahead and correct my ways. Suffering could also be just an expression of divine love. How do you know which is which? That's the great mystery of life. So the Gemara goes right there. So the Gemara says, "V'ha'inu d'Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, ne'emar bris b'melach ve'ne'emar bris yisur." Torah used lashon of bris, of a covenant, ultimately, again, by salt, and a covenant by suffering. D'chsiv, elu divrei abris, ma bris ha'or b'melach. So the bris melach that they're referring to over here is the covenant of salt, that you have to go ahead and put salt on every single carbon, right? I'll call carbon cha takriv melach. You have to have salt on every carbon. So the idea the Gemara says is, it says bris by salt by a carbon, and it says bris by suffering. So what does salt do? Salt improves the carbon, right? Literally, again, salt adds flavor to the meat, to the basar. So the Gemara says, ma melach mimatekes hasa basar, af bris ha'amar b'yisurin yisur mirakim kol avonosav shel adam. So the idea over here is, just like salt improves the quality of the meat, suffering improves the quality of life. Now, I will say, again, sounds like a totally strange statement, but in the grand scheme of things, suffering has a cathartic, positive effect. It could change a person's life because it could force them to introspect where they would have not have done that on their own. And also the ability to be cleansed of one's sins, sometimes through the overwhelming nature of suffering, ultimately has a quote-unquote positive effect as well. Tanya, Rabbi Shem and Yochai Omer, Rabbi Shem Rashbi says, Shalosh Matanos Tovos Lassan Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael. The Moshe gave Klal Yisrael three gifts. V'kulon lo naslan ela ayidei Yisurin. And I will say all of them are only given through suffering. What are they? What are the three gifts? I will say it's incredible. Elohein Torah, Eretz Yisrael, v'olam haba. Three gifts that you could only get through suffering. Torah, the person wants to acquire Torah. Torah only comes with suffering. Well, so it's a very important idea. What does it mean with suffering? The idea meaning that if a person wants spiritual, a person wants Torah in life, a person has to be willing to work very hard and deprive themselves of certain things. Eretz Yisrael is only acquired through suffering. Right? Again, the statement doesn't even need explanation given the times that we are living through. And Olam Haba, person wants a portion of the world to come. Once again, I will say, suffering, one has to deal with privation. One has to give things up. One has to sacrifice. And even sometimes one has to suffer in order to have a portion of the world to come. So the Gemara proves each of these. The Gemara says, Torah minayin, shenemar ashrei ager asher tiasrenu ka, umisarascha talamdenu. So the Gemara just quotes the psukim that back up this idea. Eretz Yisrael d'chsiv, ki kasher yaser ish es bino Hashem lokecha miyasrecha, usiv basrein. It says after that, ki Hashem lokecha mevi'acha el eretz tova, ha'olam haba, d'chsiv, ki ner mitzvah v'torah ar, v'derech chayim tochacha osim osar. So we'll say, so a very profound Gemara, which essentially, we know what it means. What it means is, anything great in life requires suffering. Now, I just want to point out, it also goes to how you define suffering, right? What's suffering? Suffering is a very relative term, right? You take away a teenager's smartphone and you ask them, what's your state? I'm suffering, right? Right? And then for someone else, suffering is being stricken with an illness. Suffering is losing a love. Suffering is a very relative term. So what does it mean when the Gemara says that essentially great things are only acquired through suffering? What suffering really is, the state of suffering is the absence of shalom, right? The absence, ultimately, again, of some level of spiritual or life equilibrium. So when you have that disruption of equilibrium, that's called suffering. And that manifests itself in a variety of different ways. What the Gemara is saying is, if you want great things out of life, if you want Torah, if you want Olam Haba, if we as a people want Eretz Yisrael, these things do not come through a comfortable life. They don't come through a comfortable life. So if your pursuit in life ultimately is to be comfortable, right? If that's the goal, if the goal is to be b'shalom, the goal is to be comfortable, the goal is to feel nice, then just recognize you will not be able to acquire some of the greatest gifts in life. The greatest things in life require a fundamental disruption of shalom, which by definition puts you in the state of suffering. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, Tani Kami Rabbi Yochanan. Kol Osik Patora Gmilas Chasadim. This is incredible Gemara. So Rabbi Yochanan says as follows. Or I should say the top of Rabbi Yochanan. Whoever learns Torah, engages in Gemilas Chasadim, acts of charitable kindness, we'll say 5b, the Kover Esbanov, and Chas Shalom buries his children, Mochel in law kolavon osav, he is forgiven for all of his sins. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? What does this mean? A dramatic Gemara. So we'll say, obviously the first two of the three make a lot of sense. Person goes ahead and learns Torah. Person does charitable acts of kindness. That I understand why at the end of the day, I can be forgiven for my sins. What does it mean? Person buries his children. So the Maharsha, Chas Hashanah, the Maharsha comments on this and he says what it means is like this. That a person, Rachman Atzlan Nebach, who loses a child, who suffers loss, but still maintains their connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the highest level. That's the highest level. I'm sorry? Avraham Avinu. Right? That's the highest level. So a person like that is able, so again, the first, every, all each of these things represent achieving a level of closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I learned Torah. I could be doing other things. Why do I learn Torah? Because I love Hashem. I could be serving myself. Why am I helping others? Because I love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. At the end of the day, a person loses a loved one and still maintains that connection and fidelity to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the highest level. That is the highest level. When God takes from you someone that you love more than anything, in an irreplaceable way. Every loss is irreplaceable, but there are certain losses where the void is felt literally until you draw your last breath. Person Chas V'Shalom suffers a loss like that and still maintains connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's a tzaddik. That's a tzaddik. That's a person who's reached a level where he or she is cleansed of all their sins. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Bishlam atorah gemilas chasadim tichsiv v'chased be'emes yichu paravon. Chesed zu gemilas chadim shneimar rotev tzedakah v'chesed yimtzachayim tzedakah v'kavod emes zu torah shneimar emes kanov al timkar. So the Gemara essentially says, I understand the first of the two, the first two of the three. I understand the power of Torah and I understand the power of chesed. But kovar as banav minayin, where does that even come from in all of this, right? Like how is it even part of our discussion? So Tzavos says, incredible. Tani lehahu saba mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. I will say, again, I also just want to mention here, we're doing these Gemaras very quickly, and we're not giving them their fair due. And it's certainly, I will say, whenever we speak about loss, especially Rachman al-Islan of a child, is catastrophic. And so again, in no way should we, just because we're reading the Gemara, you know, quickly, and in no way should it be construed that Chazal didn't appreciate the overwhelming enormity of that kind of loss. Of course they did. Of course they did. What they're trying to help us do over here in this Gemara that we're just doing, that I'm reading very quickly, is try to place it in a framework. And it was like, what's the hard, anyone who's ever endured loss, right? What's the hardest thing about loss? The hardest thing about loss? Loss disrupts your like universal order, right? Like in other words, the universe had an order. I had a mother, a father, right? A brother, a sister, a spouse. There was an order, and now there's death, there's loss. The whole order is disrupted. By the way, I'll point out to you, Sadigam, you know, the halacha by Avelus is that an Avel, a mourner, has to change his seat in shul. What is that? So some say it represents Golos, exile. So actually, I saw there's a beautiful insight, that's given, that the concept of changing your seat, we'll say, is, you know, when you sit in shul, you sit in the same seat, so you have a makam kavua, so your perspective is fixed, right? You see things in a certain way. When you change your seat, what happens? Your entire view is changed. So it's supposed to be representative of the effects of death on the living. What really, death is a disorienting experience. I saw the world one way. There was an order in my life in one way. And now suddenly, everything has been upended. You change your seat to show to see, I don't look at the shul the same way. I don't look at people the same way. I don't see anything the same way. So I just want to point out, the Gemara is not minimizing the catastrophic nature of the loss. What the Gemara is trying to do is try to embed it in the theological framework. So the Gemara says, Minayin tana lu ahu sab mishum Rabbi Shimon Yochai, asya avon avon. Make a gzer shabav avon avon. It says over here that through chesed and emes, a sin will be atoned for. So Tanakh uses the same wording of avon, of sin, by the death of children, and ultimately again by Torah and chesed. So the Gemara therefore strings all of these together to essentially say Just like Torah and Chesed have the ability to purge one of all their sins, so too Chas Hashem, the death of a loved one, death of a child, and still maintaining the fidelity and connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, catapults one to a spiritual level where all of their sins are forgiven as well. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Negayim ubanim einam yisurin shel ava. We'll say negayim is tzara'as, which we loosely translate as leprosy, and Chas Hashem, the loss of one's children. This is not a display of suffering of love. These are not afflictions of love, the Gemara says. Negayim, is that true? That ultimately, again, negayim, so tzara'as is not, yisur shalav is not an affliction of love. V'atanya, we learn, kol mi sheish bo echa mi arba maros negayim halalu, einon ela mizbeach kapara. Yet Chazal said that if you have one of the problematic spots on your skin, that's tzara'as, that is a mizbeach kapara. Essentially, again, that atones for you. To which the Gemara says, Mizbeach kapara in, Mizbeach kapara havu, Yisurin shel ava lo havu. It's true. It atones. But it is not a manifestation of suffering of law. The other possibility is, Halan v'haluhu. But the other possibility is, maybe there's a distinction between Eretz Yisrael and Bavel. In Eretz Yisrael, where if you got tzaras, you would have to leave the city. You'd have to leave the walled cities, right? So ultimately, again, then tzaras is not a display of divine love. But in Bavel, where if you got tzaras, you could pretty much just stay at home, then again, that could be a display of divine love. Incredible. B.Y. said the other possibility is habitzina, habifarhesya. One could be talking about public tzaras, in other words, where it's seen, it's on a part of the body where everybody can see, versus private tzaras, where it's on a part of the body where no one else could see. Maybe that's the distinction. Halacha lemaisa, if the tzaras is hidden and only you know about it, then perhaps it could be a display of divine love. But if Allah says everyone could see it, and therefore there's an element of humiliation, that's not divine love. So I'm sorry, I skipped. Ubanim lo, we'll say, is the loss of a child chas v'shalom, can that not be a display of divine love? We'll say, no, it sounds strange to even say the words. But the Gemara is wondering, could it be that perhaps, as catastrophic as the loss is, maybe it's also a display of divine love? To which the Gemara says, hey chidami, what's the case? So if you want to say ultimately again that a person had children and chas v'shalom they predeceased him, it's incredible. Rabbi Yochanan lost 10 children, and he carried around a little bit of the bone fragment of his 10th child, of his youngest. Rashi points out over here, why did he do this? Ultimately, again, La'agmas nefesh. He was so pained by the loss of his children. He was so pained that at the end of the day, he couldn't move past it. So he carried around literally a little bone fragment of his youngest child who had passed away. So the Gemara says, you see from here, that loss of children is not a display of divine love. Otherwise, Rabbi Yochanan would not have carried this around with him, causing him so much pain. The Gemara says, rather, Ela ha'delo havule klal, right? The Gemara makes an interesting distinction, that there's a distinction ultimately, again, if a person had children and lost them, so a person got the experience of being a parent, that type of loss could be an expression of divine love. Versus a person who has never had the opportunity to have children, that's not an expression of divine love. Now, I'll say, again, I want to give you all of these Gemaras like with a strong asterisk. The strong asterisk is, even Chazal didn't understand why suffering happens. Right? I should say differently. Chazal may have understood in a much deeper way why suffering happened, but Chazal did not divulge to us the real reasons for suffering. What Chazal are trying to create for us, Rabosei, is just a theological construct. So here's what we have. So here's what we have. We have suffering ultimately again as a springboard for introspection. Well, let's start back. We have suffering that sometimes could be as a result of sin. There is sometimes where God visits suffering upon me as a punishment for things that I've done. That could happen. That's model one. Model two, suffering ultimately, again, as a springboard for introspection. I didn't per se do anything specifically to bring this about, or I don't know what I did, but it doesn't really matter. The goal is for me to take this disruption in the natural order of life and to introspect. That's number two. Number three is ultimately suffering as a display of divine love. This level where I haven't done anything wrong. Maybe I don't even need to introspect. But what is Kadosh Baruch Hu doing? Kadosh Baruch Hu is trying to purge me from any bit, any vestige of sin that I have, so that it all gets out in this world, so that by the time I leave this world and go to the world to come, I am clean, I am pure. That's suffering as a display of divine love. What fits into what category? So we'll say, you see, the Gemara is all over the place. Why? Because at the end of the day, I don't know. That's the idea, I don't know. But I will tell you for me, I'll tell you what I take away from this Gemara. What I take away from this Gemara is that when stuff does happen to us in life, right, and there is a disruption in the natural order, it is a wake-up call to introspect. Not necessarily that I did anything wrong, but again, when you experience a disruption in the natural order, the important response is, okay, now it's time for me to look inward. Now it's time for me to think about who I am, what I am, how I'm living, and perhaps what I need to do differently going forward. So the Gemara goes right there. So listen to this. It's great Gemara. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, chalash. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba was ill. All the gabei Rabbi Yochanan. So we'll say, wait, Rabbi Yochanan came to visit him. And Rabbi Yochanan says, Amalei, chavivan alecha yisurin. So we'll say, it's such a fascinating discussion, right? So Rabbi Chiya is very sick. Rabbi Yochanan comes to visit him. What does Rabbi Yochanan say? Nu, do you like the suffering? Right? Now we'll say, now don't do that on a Bikur Cholim visit, right? Not a good idea. What was Rabbi Yochanan saying? Rabbi Yochanan was saying to Rabbi Chiya, said, Rabbi Chiya, you know that there's a profound opportunity in suffering, right? That suffering means you're being cleansed on some level. So tell me, do you like it? Amrale lohein velo scharan. To which Rabbi Chiya responded, no, I don't like it. I don't want the suffering and I don't want the reward. I would like to just be freed from this. Amrale havli adecha. Rabbi Yochanan said to Rabbi Chiya, give me your hand. Yoiv leyadei va'okmei. So sure enough, Rabbi Chiya extended his hand. Rabbi Yochanan took his hand, which usually means a lashon of tefillah, of davening, and he healed him. Incredible Gemara. Another one. Rabbi Yochanan chalash. I will say now, remember, in the last story, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who was visiting. He was the mevaker, the one visiting. Now Rabbi Yochanan is sick. Rabbi Yochanan chalash, ala gabei Rabbi Chanina. And Rabbi Chanina came to visit him. Amalei, chaviv and alechi. So you're telling Rabbi Yochanan, do you like the suffering? Right? How's it going? How's the suffering? Right? Right? Is it good? Chaviv means, like, do you like it? Rabbi Yochanan said, no, I don't want it. I don't want the suffering. I don't want the reward. I'd rather just be done, be rid myself of all the suffering. So Rabbi says so beautifully. So what happened? Rabbi Chanina said, give me your hand. So Rabbi Yochanan extended his hand. And ultimately, again, and Rabbi Chanina healed him. I think, one second. Am I? Lokim Rabbi Yochanan l'nafshei. One second. We'll say, Rabbi Yochanan was the one who healed Rabbi Chiya in the previous story. So if Rabbi Yochanan, most listen to this Gemara, if Rabbi Yochanan can heal Rabbi Chiya, then what? Why can't he heal himself? Rabbi Yochanan, listen to this Gemara. Amri, ein chavosh matya atzim be'sasurin. Rabbi Yochanan has a great line. The person who is incarcerated cannot free himself from his own jail. What does that mean? But at the end of the day, when you find yourself in difficult circumstances, often you don't know how to navigate out of them. But say that's why in life it's so important to have someone outside of ourselves who we could turn to for advice, for guidance in difficult times. Because for whatever the reason, when you're in the midst of the problem, you often have difficulty creating or identifying the solution. Chazal's expression for that is the person who's incarcerated doesn't know how to get himself out of the jail. Incredible. So the Gemara goes right there. Rabbi Eliezer, chalash. Rabbi Eliezer was ill. All the gabei Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan ultimately came to visit him. Chazet dahavik hagani bebayis afa. So we'll say what happened. Rabbi Yochanan, and this is, we're learning this in Smichas Chaver now. Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Eliezer was sleeping in a dark room. In other words, that the room wasn't illuminated, right? In other words, what was happening over here is that Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Eliezer wasn't being taken care of. He was just physically wasn't being taken care of. So what happened? So Gal Yeladare, he rolled up his sleeves, right? He lifted up his sleeve. V'nafal Nura. So what's it? So apparently, Rabbi Yochanan had a very radiant, like a very radiant countenance. His skin had like a glow. So he rolled up his sleeve and the glow of his skin went ahead and illuminated the room. So the Gemara says, I'll just tell you something amazing. I'll save it. So the Gemara goes right there. The Gemara says, so Chazi Dehavi Kabachi Rabbi Eliezer. So what happened? So now remember again, Rabbi Yochanan saw that Rabbi Eliezer was a sick person, was crying. Amar Le Amai Kabachis, why are you crying? Imishum Torah de lo ifshes. Maybe you're crying because you know maybe you're going to die shortly, and you haven't learned enough Torah. Shanina, we learned echad amarba ve'echad amamit obilvat shi'chayvin libel hashem. We learned about that. Whether you learn a lot, you learn a little. The ikar is that what? The ikar is that you try. The ikar is that you try. Maybe you're crying ultimately again. The imishum mizoni. Maybe you're crying because you didn't make enough money, right? Enough parnasa for your family. This Gemara says if that's the case, lo kol adam zochel eshtei shulchanos. I will say, in life, not everyone is successful at two tables. I will say, this is a metaphor. Chazal speak about two tables. There's one table of spiritual success, and one table, ultimately, again, of material success. Not everyone is able to eat at two tables. Sometimes all a person is able to do is be successful in one of the tables of life. And next, Imi Shumbani, and Rabbi Elazar, if you're crying because maybe of your children, maybe you lost children, didn't have children, din garma dasiroi bir. So ultimately, again, so what happens? So he says, Rabbi Yochanan says, I lost all of these children, right? I lost so many children, so I suffered loss. I know what it means to have loss, and I could tell you that at the end of the day, there's always the ability to power through loss. Incredible. Amrle, so Rabbi Elazar says, no, that's not why I'm crying. Why am I crying? I'm crying because one day this beautiful face, Rabbi Elazar referring to his own face, is going to disintegrate into the earth. So Amrle, al da vaday kabachis. Over this, you definitely could cry. Ubacha tarvaihu. And ultimately, again, they both began to cry. I will say, what does it mean Rabbi Elazar is crying over the fact that the beautiful face is going to disintegrate? What he's saying is he's crying over the fact that life comes to an end. And I will say, and when life comes to an end, it's really over. It's really over. And when it's really over, there's no do-overs. And when it's really over, there's no one saying, I didn't get to do this. When it's over, it's over. And whatever you did, you did. And whatever you didn't do remains undone for all eternity. And that's what he was crying about. Torah, okay, I did my best. Parnasa, I did my best. What I cry about is that life is a finite, non-renewable resource. And when it's done, so then we'll say, no, when a person has like a near-death experience or knows that they're on the threshold of death, they become much more real about their own mortality because they can't escape it anymore. So as you're having this discussion, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rabbi Eliezer, tell me, do you like the suffering? And he says, no, I don't want the suffering. I don't want the reward. Give me your hand. He gave him his hand and he healed him. So we'll have to stop over here for today. Again, very, very loaded Gemara. Very loaded Gemara. Let's say I would strongly urge again, we have Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, Mirat Hashem, to do Chazara. Beautiful stories, beautiful episodes, beautiful insights. Make sure to use the time to Chazara a little bit. Let's say Shkayach. Everyone is invited to join us for Chasidus.